Holidays. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this is a program I know a lot of people have been waiting for. Today commemorates the 40th anniversary of an experience that shook the world, that changed the level of consciousness and vibration that exists within the physical and metaphysical world. It was 40 years ago today that J.J. Hertog had a higher consciousness experience, he'll explain, and he was able to access and write what's called the Book of Enoch, the Keys of Enoch, the Book of Knowledge. And we're going to be doing about an hour and a half, 2 hour special with Dr. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog about this extraordinary experience, what has happened in the last 40 years, the influence of the Keys of Enoch, and how it's really been a part of our spiritual culture since its inception. So welcome, Dr. J.J. Hertog, Dr. Desiree Hertog, to New Realities. Thank you.
Yes, we're very pleased to be here with our worldwide audience. Again, we thank you for this exceptional time that we have to broadcast to colleagues in more than 70 countries worldwide. And indeed, this is the 40th anniversary today of the exceptional experience I call a consciousness-changing experience that I had of having a contact with the divine intelligence that led to the publication of the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch.
Well, it's truly a remarkable event that happened to you, California. I mean, for people who aren't familiar, and there might be some people who aren't so familiar with the keys, if you can just sort of encapsulate what was going on. I know you were a linguistics teacher at a university in California, and you were tuning in to kind of spiritual sound vibration. Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, if you can just recap, Dr. Hertog, exactly what it was that you were doing in order for this experience to take place, so we could kind of see in the moment and of this awakening of consciousness that happened in, with you. So if you would just relay some of that experience.
Yes, of course. For many, many years as a student of archaeology, culture, history, linguistics, and Oriental science, I had been looking really for answers to some of the perennial questions connected with the possibility of a higher life in the universe behind the manifestations of all of the great myths, theologies, legends, and stories regarding the Tree of Life. And I had acquired knowledge of the ancient languages, and so I was putting together a methodology of using the sacred mantras or sacred expressions in the ancient Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Sanskrit, in a combination of sounds, and having a background also in musicology, I felt I could create, as it were, a soundscape whereby possibly in deep prayer and meditation, some of these answers could be magnified and clarified for me. And at that particular point, on January 2nd, 1973, a tremendous morphogenic door opened as a result of the energies that I was building in prayer and musical meditation. And at that point, I stepped into the future, and I was gone for a period of 2 days. When I came back, my students noticed that there was light around my body. And, of course, the rest is history. This document was very carefully prepared to go out to leading thinkers in the academic community, the scientific community, privately, because it was a testimony to the reality of other worlds. And more importantly, it was a testimony to the fact that we share in something beyond this physical existence and dimension. We are co-participants in the higher evolutionary process.
Right. But before we go there, can you just, in a little more detail, describe the journey? You created a musical soundscape that seems to have opened a door into this higher dimension, and then Enoch, the angelic being Enoch, appeared, and then Metatron. But what was it like to actually go with your body through these dimensions. And then at some point you said you left your physical body and put on a garment of light. Could you describe the feeling, the sensations, and the experience of that journey?
In a few words, it was an overwhelming experience that cannot be put in human language. It was an experience that I think the mystical texts speak of indirectly when they speak of how the mind begins to connect with the greater universe, when the mind realizes all things are interconnected, and when the mind and body is taken in a field of light that is of a different order, a different creative dimension, in this case, a superluminal process is evoked through which you do not feel so much the sensations of the physical self, but you begin to realize that the mind, body, and spirit are connected in very special ways. You begin to discover the divine spark that is within each and every one of us on Mother Earth that is connected with different realms of glory. And this process of going into the greater light, which was done in what we will call milliseconds of human time, I experienced a tremendous array of colors, sounds, and experiences through which I was literally biolocated into a different realm. And in that physical dimension, without the light protection, my physical body would not have survived, just because of the biophysical and the larger paraphysical energy fields that I was crossing over into, not of my own will, not of my own power. And certainly no man can see the divine unless a divine garment is placed around his mind, his body. But that essentially took place, and I found myself in a higher dimensional reality that is simply beyond words. And that is the reason I wrote my book in a meta language, or a language of a language, which means you have to be able to think holistically and bring together a inner language of music with a higher language of conceptual order. Conceptual, rational language cannot explain something of a higher creative order.
So was there any fear, or was it more the feeling of love, as you say? Was there any human element that may have contracted about this experience that was going on?
No, the awesomeness of the experience was that of unconditional love, supreme love. I cannot explain it any better than what is spoken of in the book known as The Keys of Enoch, that the whole body began to vibrate with love. And I saw through scenario abstracts the fact that we are connected with other evolutionary orders, and that we as a human community were being prepared for a time of graduation. Some would call it a quantum leap into the future. Others would simply call it going up into the next branch of the tree of life. But as was the power and the majesty of this experience that propelled me, as it has over the last 40 years, which is a very remarkable gematria of time and space, to go to the various countries of the world and share with them knowledge, keys of knowledge, that unlock secrets of earlier archaeological cycles, cultural, scientific periods of greater evolutionary process, as well as information codes that connect with the higher evolutionary mind of the universe.
And hi, Alan, this is Desiree Herchak here, of course. What I think is so exciting about the Keys of Enoch is the fact that 40 years ago, Dr. Herchak was told that there was a upgrade or a programming taking place for planet Earth, and we would come to understand things that happened in the past, things that are happening now, and things of where we're moving into. So, and that some of the information really of higher science, of higher consciousness, would be given to this planet so we could be prepared for that ultimate interconnectedness with other realms of intelligence. And I think that this has really happened and taken place in the last 40 years, and we see this in many realms of science and consciousness development and archaeology and all areas of learning on this planet.
Well, the book itself, I mean, and we'll talk maybe about how it was actually came to you, because it was a two-day experience, but the book itself probably takes, you know, a month to read, and it's so multidimensional. I mean, as you say, it takes place on seven levels of understanding, at least, the Keys of Enoch book. So I'm curious then, after this experience, how were you able to encapsulate the experience into the words that became the book itself?
Well, I had, of course, a training and background as an academic, as a scholar, as a writer, and so I was able really to verbalize into a record of my experiences from which I then transposed into written language. And I would like to simply read the opening statement of the Book of Knowledge to our world audience. The underlying fire in which the Father of the Kingdom of the Heavens has kindled in the midst of the Holy Tree of Life is burning fiercely in the innermost heart of the world. Its blazing flames will illuminate the people to speak prophetically and to reveal the great healing power that will bring all people of the earth into a realization of the externalization of the divine hierarchy of all the masters who serve the Eternal Father. This opening statement, this point of departure, is the realization that there is in the process a healing between the different languages, religious, and cultural traditions that have ignored the reality that there is a living divine mind behind all of the layers of information, knowledge, and wisdom traditions that in some instances has prevented the human from entering into a higher level of experience, of direct face-to-face contact.
Right, and so in a certain sense what we're saying is that humanity now, who feels that everything is all on this planet and that there's no higher consciousness existing, and that's not the humanity of the people listening to this program or your shows, but the average person nowadays, you know, has like neglected a lot of those higher realities in their daily lives, and that's really hurting us in the sense of cutting us off from higher levels of expansion that we really should all be experiencing. So that's extremely important. I just want to go back, Alan, for a minute. Yeah, so when Dr. Hertak came back from that experience, as it was January 2nd and 3rd, he was in an academic environment, and he started to share this with his students. And so with his students, he went through each of the keys. He came back from his experience with the calligraphy from the book already done. And that was very, very quickly, I mean, probably in a week or two, less than a week, I'll say, of his experience. He had, like, these the calligraphy printed out, and then he started going through each of them, and as he went through them, then those were transcribed and ultimately then put into the Keys of Enoch. So it was very fresh in his mind. But I think the important thing is what he saw were scenario abstracts. They weren't words. I mean, this is not channeling, as you know. This is not someone saying a word. These are experiences that he actually saw, and then he relayed. And that's really the key to this, that it's not an automatic writing or it's not channeling. And in fact, he was sitting in a group of people and saying, you know, this is what I experienced. This is what I saw. This is, you know, what I was told when I was there. So it's that type of information that then went into the body of the text.
Well, you were one of the first people to actually see him when he came back. Can you describe what you noticed about him when you saw him back then in 73?
Right. Prior to the time of his experience, you know, he had some of the information of he was interested in archaeology, he was interested in biofeedback, you know, things that were going on in the early 70s. But when he came back, it was totally a different scenario. He had actually put it all together, and actually it scared some of the students. So in a certain sense, some of the more traditional academic students who were there were really kind of taken back, and yet he was attracting a whole nother level of people, you know, who were really interested in this higher knowledge and this higher information. So, and there were a lot of experiences surrounding him at that time that not only I, but many of the other students saw in terms of beings of light, in terms of light, we'll say light ships in the night. He would take people out and, you know, see certain experiences and various other things that did take place around him. Very, quite profound.
Well, Dr. Hertak, can you talk about the character of Enoch? And then you also say you met Metatron. What was it to be in the presence of these beings? I mean, yes, love, but was there a distinct quality to Enoch and to Metatron?
Well, understand that these experiences happen in a fraction of time where the mind is overwhelmed by the amount of information being fed into the mind, but a certain sense of humility, of nakedness, and being in the presence of, we will call the higher angelic forms or cosmic teachers of the universe that serve the divine mind of creation. It was a overwhelming sense of humility and also in this deep sense of realizing that there is, in the beatific vision, a reality of a higher divine family that is so powerful and so loving that is behind many of the higher advanced experiences. Enoch told me he could only take me so far, and it was up to Metatron or Shaddai to take me to the higher realms. And again, I say this very carefully for our audience throughout the world. This is not something that I want to go into in detail because it is an appointed experience that everyone will have in their own way, in their own time, and it cannot be described in poetic language or even in scientific language. It is something that is completely off the scale of what the mind would normally experience or want to experience in terms of being a vehicle or a vessel of divine love in the ultimate sense of love with capital letters.
But I think what's really exciting as well is when Dr. Cheka was saying some of this, he also gives a cosmology behind this information. And so Enoch is connected with our local universe, or what we call the SON Sun universe. And then Metatron is connected with the next level of reality, what we would call the Father universe. And so, you know, there's these various orders and relationships. And I think for people who come from just strictly a angelic or Kabbalistic background, there's a lot of confusion. Is Metatron and Enoch the same being? And according to Dr. Herdak's experience, they're not exactly the same being, but they're different emanations of energy working on different frequencies. So Metatron is able to be closest to the throne. That's where the name comes from, also known as El Shaddai, meaning the Almighty in the Hebrew, where Metatron is more of a Greek term for the same person or being entity. And Enoch would be that which had walked here on this planet and yet was the first to experience ascension. And so that's an emanation or an energy that's separate from Metatron in the sense of being in this reality.
Well, the beauty of the book is that, first of all, it's very symbolic, but it also combines astrophysics with biology, with ancient civilizations and ancient languages, and kind of gives a new direction for a multidimensional cosmology, if that makes sense to people. So over the course of, Enoch said to you, Dr. Hertog, over the next 30 years, many of the revelations that have been presented to you in that experience would come to light, would come into manifestation. Let's go over some of the things that, in a sense, that were predicted by the Book of Knowledge.
Well, I wanted to say before we do that, that anybody can make claims of some exceptional journey out of the body or with the body or time travel, but it's the science that or the spiritual information that you bring back that counts. As Carl Sagan once said, exceptional claims require really exceptional documentation or science. And the Book of Knowledge is a code book of future science. It's read by those who have, in some ways, very specialized preparation in Kabbalistic science and or the various planetary sciences. It's not a book really for the average person without some academic preparation. Why? Because it connects the points. As you said, it's written on seven languages, from the science of the atomic and subatomic to that of the consciousness cosmology that puts it all together. So in practical language, I'd like to review some of the confirmations, beginning with the confirmation of zero-point energy that we've picked up on in recent times. The keys in 1973 speak of the zero-point energy field as a source of future energy.
Now, what key is that, if I'm looking along in the key?
Key 302.
302. Okay, do you want to just tell what you wrote back in 73? about zero point energy.
Right.
I'll get that too.
I just want to say, as we're pulling up that, what's really interesting is that at the time of the keys in the 1970s, I mean, people were still trying to figure out, the energy behind a pyramid. They were trying to understand, stars. We didn't know that, there were planets around stars. We didn't realize that stars had cycles of birth and death. There was a lot of information that we take for granted now 40 years later. That really was not present at the time. So when the keys came out, many, many people were completely overwhelmed. So this section that Dr. Urtek's going to quote now for key 302 on free energy or zero-point energy.
Yes, 302, verse 13. For those of you throughout the world who have the texts, I'm reading halfway through verse 13. This universal zero-point where the cones of force come together as a point of original attachment to other universal systems through which creation takes place. Secondary systems of physical creation must acknowledge the universal zero point as the origin of galactic matter. This is explained in other parts of the book, but essentially it is putting a benchmark on this very important area.
And I just want to say, we did an article about a year ago because Nature magazine is, one of the greatest magazines around in terms of science, came out with an article called The Observation of the Dynamic Casimir Effect in a Superconducting Circuit by Christopher Wilson and his colleagues. And actually, they were the first to actually be able, and this is really fascinating because people talk about ZPE for free energy and they're looking forward to that, and some people claim that they've already gotten it. But actually, Wilson and his colleagues were able to prove that zero point really does take place. He was able to do something what's called the dynamic Casimir effect, where he was able to really bring in what's called virtual photons or energies of light that aren't here, that aren't the physical light. He was able to bring them from this other state of matter and actually hold them here. So that's exactly what we're talking about, that these subatomic particles that form out of nothing actually are able to come into this reality and be here, and we can use that as an energy field, as a free energy field. And this has now been confirmed by this research of Christopher Wilson in Nature magazine. And, other people perhaps have been able to do this and haven't gotten into Nature magazine, for example.
Yeah, I'm just reading that part again in the keys here. It says, systems of physical creation must acknowledge the universal zero point as the origin of galactic matter in the same way a child acknowledges the cord of his mother's womb out of which he is extended. So you're saying that the matter itself is connected to a greater reality, a greater kind of time-space continuum that goes beyond this local.
Yes, exactly, and that our key to the understanding of the background energy out of which all things are forged and formulated is the universal zero point that is crucial in our understanding of the new cosmology. In other words, the keys of Enoch are giving us scientific predictions of what will come to pass within a 30-year period of time.
But when you wrote this, you did not really, you were just going with your feeling, but you didn't have the science. You were sort of just a forerunner of this thought. I mean.
Right. He saw these things in another reality, but, they weren't confirmed down here. And again, this whole zero point, as I said, many people have been playing with using, it's really the connection to other realms that then brings new energy. We're in this balance here. You can't take energy out of our system. You can't, it's hard to put any energy back in or anything like that. Everything's in a kind of this state of matter. But the idea of zero point is you can pull it in from other realities. And the whole concept that there are other realities from which to pull it from and to use that energy that created this world in a certain sense to tap into for free energy is an amazing phenomena, and that's really that's one of the, we'll say, the top levels of free energy research that can be done. Even Egg Mitchell talks about that.
Even zero-point energy can be used as a form of energy technology to go between solar systems and even different areas of our galaxy. So there's also an added, shall we say, caveat here in terms of how the higher intelligence, called in the Keys of Enoch, the higher evolution or the B'nai Or, the sons of light, can actually use this zero-point energy as a propulsion system, if I can call it that, to connect different parts of the universe.
So you're saying, obviously, there's different dimensional spaces or worlds, and through the Casimir effect, which they prove works, you can tap into these the spaces that feed each other, in a sense.
The Casimir effect is the first benchmark in recognizing there's something there. This has been taken into account by Robert Forward and scientists of the American Air Force. They've been experimenting with the applications behind the scenes. This is all in areas that are highly sensitive. But I'm saying to you, the Keys of Enoch bring together the connecting points of celestial movement, hyperspace travel, with the historic points of contact where earlier civilization was, shall we say, bootstrapped or brought up to higher evolutionary levels. And in P215, there's a world map that has 12 longitudinal lines that connect with key areas of the world that in the last 30 years, anthropologists have found evidence of an earlier evolutionary process. Namely, the Homo sapiens sapiens was not alone. There were other life forms. And this is a clue to the reality that our planet is a experimental schoolhouse for not only the physical advancement, but also the spiritual advancement of the human race. The two go hand in hand. And we've reached a point now, the consciousness evolution of the spiritual domain and the physical scientific evolution of the new science of the mind are converging. We are reaching a critical mass right now where we're going to see unbelievable things unfold, I believe, in the next portion of our decade. As more and more hearings take place throughout the governments of the world, more disclosure conferences and documents come forth saying that we're not alone, that we've been carefully nurtured and carefully incubated to come to your own senses.
Yeah, think of it, Alan, if I can say that there were basically at least three hominoid species here on the planet, we'll say, at the very beginning of our growth cycle. And that's the Neanderthals, the Homo florensis, which some people say is like the Homo erectus, but in small form, and us, the Homo sapiens. So there's three species already on our planet. Think of how many other planets and other species are out there in space. I think Dr. Jack feels from his experience and also from his research and study, there's at least 70 extraterrestrial races.
Oh, at least. I have a philosophical question for you, Dr. Hertog. When you were given this knowledge in 1973, did it seem so unbelievable to you back then that the world would move in this direction of higher consciousness and higher light? Because the world was different back then, and we've come into a spiritual renaissance, I'd say, in the last 10 or 20 years that wasn't really seen in the 70s. Maybe beginning in the 60s, but not really. It didn't really crystallize, and it still is, but were you surprised?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good question. I saw an upward spiral of knowledge and a downward spiral of the old programming, the old scripting, allowing a portion of the human race to go on its unconscious level, disregarding its impact upon nature, its misuse of science, its splitting of information dualistically so that one side of the brain was not able to compute what the other side was doing. I saw really that humanity was being tested and would reach a breaking point where we would have to get on our knees and pray that divine intelligence would help us overcome some of these problems that would see the demise of large numbers of the human race. And I have say this with great love to the world audience. These questions are, shall we say, on the outer extremes of the more important body of knowledge, which is the love letter of the divine speaking to us. And this is why we have an academy for future science, why we have study groups, why we have a library of information and music, because without the music, without the training of the mind and the development of consciousness to work multidimensionally, we're simply talking jargon. We're simply talking words for the sake of words without the nuances of color, inner meanings, and the richness of how many traditions from east to west, from north to south, are being brought together. So
we can shift the balance, and I think that's the important thing. You know, the information is being given to us. That's what Dr. Hertak, saw and experienced, as well as other people also now bringing it forward. But the question is, what do we do with it? And whether people in humanity are able to move forward in a positive way with it, or still choose to sleep and remain more in their own ego sense, or then, you know, that doesn't help the planet in any way. And I think that, I know, Alan, we all just recently experienced the December 21st, and hopefully yes. We're in a new era that allows humanity to really see the importance of moving and working together and being together and trying to be more harmonious and helpful to one another and to all of Mother Earth.
Well, I have to say, I was just in Mexico with Dr. Hertak and Desiree Hertak, and at the Pyramid of Chichen Itza on December 21st, and there did seem to be a sort of grounding of energy. I mean, I feel more solid, more clearer, more in touch with the earth, and also other dimensions of thought is what I can say because of that experience. So it seems like there is more light coming into the planet at this point that will activate many people in what's really can be seen as a sort of an ascension process, I feel.
Indeed. In fact, after the 30-year period of the United States government, I am told by some of the information now coming out through disclosure, was to have released certain documentation regarding the fact that we're not alone in the universe and that we have been brought into a transitional period to reevaluate all areas of science, knowledge, theology, and cosmology. So this is a very important conversation we're having with academies throughout the world, from South Africa to Australia and Japan to Europe to all of the Americas, that we are to work as a team, bringing together the practical side of developing a higher fellowship through unconditional love, and also with a recognition to the historic symbol of the Tree of Life, to realize the many branches of knowledge also extend to the galactic family of creation, the branches of which go even beyond our galaxy to the super galaxies of a living, dynamic universe. As Key 118 tells us, God's plan has no end in his life in the house of many mansions. It's with the realization that we have now that we must change our physical sciences, we must change our astronomy, astrophysics, to be more aware of what's coming this way.
Right. So, can you talk then about how people can use the keys?
Recently published a book called The 72 Living Divine Names of the Most High. It is a text that brings together an understanding of the Hebrew, the Aramaic language, but also emphasizes 72 key expressions found in the Old and New Testament, both in the Hebrew and the Aramaic, but also the Greek New Testament, that provides really the mantra-like seed syllable, so important for raising consciousness and preparing for conversations.
Right, and we also have, as you know, Alan, the Over-Self Awakening, which we just released in Spanish as well, down in Mexico, December 21st to 23rd. So in addition to that, the Over-Self Awakening actually has the Keys of Enoch throughout it in 72 chapters, and it's a very personal experience of growth based on the keys, cosmology of the Keys of Enoch. But basically, just for those who haven't been familiar with our work too well that may be listening, we do have Academy for Future Sciences throughout the world, from Europe to South Africa, connected with Australia and South America, and of course the U.S. and Canada. And we do encourage people who really want to study to join some of our groups that are taking place in terms of study, because there's nothing like sharing together and working together in terms of learning this cosmology. In addition to that, we have many music tapes and things like that for personal growth and understanding using sacred language. And we do feel the sacred language is very important for keeping the higher consciousness going in our lives.
So as the prophet Daniel tells us in chapter 12 of his scroll, this is the time of the speeding up of knowledge, and we encourage our listeners out there to realize that we're coming out all the time with new films, new reports, scientific papers, And we have just completed a marvelous musical CD with Stephen Helpert, who was my student some 40 years ago, a leading musical composer in the world, entitled Sacred Name,
Sacred Codes.
Sacred Codes, where I, as the cantor or the major singer, intone some of these sacred expressions in a way that our musically interested audience can catch on. You go to keysofenoch.org, scroll down to our publications and music, and I would certainly encourage this new CD, which we've just completed as of the 1st of January. It's a marvelous experience of how to raise consciousness very quickly, how to use music as a learning tool, how to recognize also we're working with other key musicians throughout the world to build really a movement of musicians, a movement of cultural artists and specialists in terms of cross-cultural participation on a much higher level of involvement with our cosmic counterparts.
Right, and we're also on Facebook under Keys of Enoch Group, and we're going to, Dr. Hertak would like to probably start some Twitter activity maybe once a week with some positive thoughts on Keys of Enoch for Twitter. So these are things that we're developing as we go.
Okay, is this sound better now?
You're choppy. I don't think we are, but that's okay.
Oh, no, you sound great, but how do I sound right now?
You could be better,
okay.
But we can carry on a conversation.
Okay, no, I'll keep going. I'll try to... Okay. Okay. No, they do sound fine. I'm going to get a different headset, but I want to ask one more question, and then you mentioned in the introduction the transplanting of the Christ seed beyond the threshold of the Alpha Omega. Can you talk about what you mean by that expression?
Yes, the Christ seed is used in the context of the Greek language or the Christos, which means the anointing power of self-realization of the divine experience of the human and the divine converging in one holistic unity that is now brought into the human drama of going simply from a material-based body, a social animal that is walking around, oblivious to other worlds, to one that is actively engaged in co-evolution, is working and reaching out to higher worlds, very much like the picture of Michelangelo coming alive with the finger of the hand of man touching the hand or finger of the divine. That engagement is beginning to take place throughout the world. We see this in hundreds of case studies that we've covered in the past 30 years in Africa and in South America and Mexico. We're coming closer to an engagement whereby those who have achieved a higher sense of self-realization are moving as a seed experiment, an Adamic human experiment, to a higher level of co-participation.
Right, and I think it's important to understand the Christ seed is one that has not only higher wisdom, but also greater love, as well as greater compassion. And I think this is coming out now with not only people who are of an older generation that are starting to realize we have to make a change in our consciousness to work more collectively, but also I think younger people who are sharing together and figuring out how to work together and realizing even though there's many people kids that just sit in front of their computers and don't really communicate, but the whole idea of even a social network means that everyone really starts to share. And we know that there's really only one humanity on this planet, and we have to be able to take care of Mother Earth and really evolve in a greater sense. So this is really, when we go through that, when we really experience that, that's going through the Alpha and Omega cycle into the new Alpha.
To say it more simply, we smell the coffee, we wake up to the realization that evolution doesn't stop with Mother Earth. So there are so many things that can be said about the Book of Knowledge, from finding, as we have in Egypt and in Japan, the historic markers of earlier cycles of civilization, to working with new science in terms of the genetic code, to working with future science in terms of looking at the star maps of where we are in the larger tracking of where we as a human race are going with respect to other forms of civilization that are now engaging us quietly behind the scenes. I want to also say, for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, we have a marvelous film called Wisdom of the Wayshowers that has a statement by astronaut Mitchell of some of his...
And about... He mentioned zero-point energy there, too.
Some of his insights into zero-point energy, and also the fact that he believes that there are other races in space. And if that is true, and he's a space pioneer, then we need to raise the bar. We need to simply be more than sleepwalkers, walking around oblivious to 65, 70 years of information at our fingertips that point to the greater star map that our ancestors have given us through the megaliths, through the great legends and traditions that have not been properly demythologized and understood. This requires, again, a sense of vitality and love of the human race to move us forward. Without that, it's simply intellectual knowledge. It will do nothing to advance the cause of humanity. The spiritual side must be found because that is the connecting link between the higher realms of intelligence and the human sciences.
You're saying combining our understanding that we are more than Earth citizens, we're galactic citizens with a spiritual heritage, opens up doorways to our evolution, really.
Yes, I'm saying exactly that we are homo universalis, universal humanity, waking up to the fact that we're more than flesh and bones, that we are, as the keys tell us, vessels of light and dynamism that share in other world experiences. And as the research at Stanford Research Institute and other universities and think tanks have shown us, we have the capacity to work as multidimensional beings if you really want to.
Right. So what we're also saying is that, you know, many people want to advance in terms of technology and going into space, and they think that the mechanics of doing it all is the way to go. But what Dr. Hertak's saying is if we really want to interconnect with what's out there in the greater cosmos, we have to do it by a consciousness evolution first. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not other extraterrestrial beings out there that have technology that we would encounter if we just stayed in our kind of lower three-dimensional reality and figured out how to do free energy and better technologies. But when we really want to know the cosmos, we have to evolve our brain into that universal field that we are all part of, that we're really all interconnected with. And that's why the subtitle for our recent book, Over Self-Awakening, is that this is the schoolhouse for the soul. And living here on planet Earth is really a schoolhouse to learn how to grow and interconnect. We call it an experimental realm so that we can figure out what to do instead of going out into space and kind of mucking all of that up. Being here, figuring it out here, and then we can make that greater interconnectedness.
So you have to go in. We have to go inward in order to go outward into embracing a greater civilization. And in a sense, these ancient civilizations were masters that left keys to our own inner development as well as to a greater consciousness
yes.
that they inhabited.
Yes, they were the fingerprints of the Elohim or the divine at work. And way before the findings of Kenneth Weeks and others in 1975 in Upper Egypt, the Keys of Enoch, specifically Key 314, spoke of findings that would be found underground in Egypt, later confirmed by Egyptologists. The Keys spoke of pyramids under the ocean off of Taiwan Yonaguni, later discovered by Japanese underwater divers in 1996. So the keys point to the forgotten history, the hidden history, the fingerprints of the Elohim of previous cycles, as well as to the importance of this cycle of humanity that must be saved from its wanderlust towards self-destruction, from its misuse of science, its destruction of Mother Earth, who cries out to us at this time to hear its compassion for remaining humanity, and also to look forward to the combination of knowledge past, present, and future that will bring us into a new era. It's the excitement of this new era that we're going into that makes me joyous in talking to you and seeing you with others, as we were recently in Yucatan before 1,500 delegates, many of them leading archaeologists, engineers, educators from all over the world, who recognize that we are going into a quantum shift of consciousness. So there are many participants in this roadmap or codebook of the Keys of Enoch. We're all being initiated into a higher realization that we have a higher mind of consciousness,
a higher mind of consciousness
called the Overself. And this is the reality that we're now going into as a collective humanity.
Right. So what have we yet to discover that the keys predict? There are more things, I'm sure, in the book to recover.
Why don't we reconnect?
Okay, is this better? All right.
Okay, that's better. That's right. Please
apologize to our world audience if there was a technical problem on your side, not our side.
No, it is my side. So, but anyway.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the cosmology of the Keys of Enoch, because I think that's really important for many people who maybe have looked at the book and said, oh, I don't really know how to get into it. And, the whole cosmology not only talks about the fact that there were previous civilizations on this planet that were quite sophisticated, but that the last 6,000 years, which we would say start with the Middle East and some of that cosmology coming out of Egypt, understanding the Great Pyramid, understanding the pyramids that we were just at Mexico, that this is all building up with the wisdom and knowledge from other levels of intelligence that are trying to help us get back to our higher nature. And that higher nature is really all about a greater universe. And that greater universe is about multidimensional levels of beings, not only a third and fourth dimensional being, but a fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional being, and ultimately light beings. And I think that that's really important. Those are the angelic messengers. Those are the higher lords of light, what people talk about. And, we've been kind of cut off here. We're kind of just stuck here in a physical body, even though that's not our natural state. And the whole idea is, how do we get back to our natural state? That's what's really important. And it comes by what you were saying earlier, Alan, going within first to be able to go without.
Right. So I was also interested in the discoveries we have yet to find that the keys predict. Is there anything you could just kind of lead up to?
Well, the keys have been recently confirmed by several things, like the Desiree's looking out to medicine.
Regenerative medicine,
key 317.
I'll read that if you want, because I have it here. It says in key 317, verse 45, this key gives the beginning of an entirely new science called medical astronomy, which will allow the nodal of cell memory. Now, the nodal of cell memory, that was back in the 70s. What that is basically stem cells, because that's the nodal of cell memory, to be stimulated so that new limbs, organs, and tissues fill the anatomical space of the body undergoing regeneration. Well, there's a new science called regenerative medicine that's doing just that, and it's connected with, like, University of Pittsburgh, for one, the Burke Army Medical Center, and they're able to take some stem cell material from the person, and then some sort of pig powder, it's called an extracellular matrix, and they're able to start generating back like skin tissues and fingertips and things like that. So this is something that the Keys of Enoch had talked about in terms of the 1970s, and that is a real confirmation coming out now.
And we know through the work of the late Dr. Richard Gerber in his book Vibrational Medicine, that he refers in Chapter 5 to the Keys of Enoch extensively. We know through the work of Dr. Stephen Sinatra, a well-known medical doctor and researcher also, there are key components here of the keys that are being understood. So we have, for our listeners who are not aware of Key 317, this whole teaching on axotonal medicine, that there are vibratory circuits within the body that link us with a higher evolutionary source. And Dr. Eric Pearl, who has specialized in this area of axotonal medicine, has taken this teaching worldwide, has been responsible for hundreds of thousands of people being affected in terms of new techniques of healing, recovery, and medical holism. And it's, if I could quote him, it's, if this is the power of one key, think of what the other 63 hold for the public. So we are really working with people on all levels to heal the divisions between the spiritual and the scientific, between the Eastern and the Western cultural traditions that tell us that we are really the byproducts of an earlier evolutionary process that we must understand by going beyond myth to understand the science behind myth. But we are also, through the great teachers, the philosophers, the great prophet scholars, recipients of a higher knowledge personified in the Old and New Testament tradition that tell us that we are part of an ongoing discovery of the inner divine nature.
And that's why the whole thing with stem cells and axitonal medicine work, because, you know, it's not just something that evolved. There's a whole blueprint, a life blueprint behind what's taking place. We've worked a little bit with Peter Garaya from Russia, who looked at the DNA and said, you know, the DNA is almost like a light wavelength that's been concretized in matter, that there's like a vibrational sound, there's a whole matrix connected with it that we're not really always consciously aware of. So it's that essence behind the life as we see it in three-dimensional reality that we're really coming from. It wasn't just happenstance. I think that's the most important thing, that there's a blueprint behind who we are and how we got here.
So after 40 years in the desert, many of the students of the Keys are beginning to see the scientific confirmations, the archaeological confirmations, the confirmations in what I will call the medicine of light healing. All of this is building up into a critical point of interconnectedness between the sciences, between the humanities, between the religious traditions that want to put the next stepping of the human race into a whole new direction of an upward ascension process.
So how is it affecting people's lives? The students at Keys, how are they shifting their reality based on this book and this work and your teaching?
Yeah, very good question, Alan. Well, first of all, of course, not only do we indicate that people are more than who they think they are, that they are interconnected with one another, so we have to be consciously aware of how we interact with one another, with how we interact with the world around us, that we are beings that have the ability to actually influence things outside of us. We can influence, and we do this with prayers for peace in the Middle East or prayers for healing in different directions and people, even at a distance, remote healing, it's called. These are all possibilities when you start understanding that you're more than just this three-dimensional reality. In addition to that, we provide music and meditation so that people can, in their hecticness of life, and I think two things are getting really, I think time is really speeding up. The Keys of Enoch actually talk about the fact that there's an acceleration taking place, and that's getting people very, very hectic. But with the music and with the philosophy and with meditation, people are able to work through that hecticness of life, calm themselves, figure out where they're supposed to be to make them at the right place at the right time to be the most effective people that they can be on this planet. And I think that's the most important thing. We all have a mission in life. No one can tell you that mission. It really comes from within. And once you understand that, you need to follow that still small voice within to guide and direct you to the right place at the right time so you can be the most effective person you are.
And members of our academy family throughout the world who are involved in sociology, anthropology, and ecology have been working with the indigenous people of Africa and South America, giving them support, giving them really what they need in terms of tangible things for immediate survival, but also working towards what we will call the setting aside of special areas, tribal areas for survival, areas that would be off limits to oil exploration in situations that would be injurious to these historical habitats. So we've been working around the clock in many, many areas from a new sociology and psychology of preparing for rapid future change, but also working with scientific papers and publications with people throughout the world on university levels, getting people to realize a whole new science of consciousness is now given to us as a gift, a cosmic participation. I would like also to use this time to get people throughout the world to set aside time every hour of the day where they can be using some of our sacred expressions or mantras, because we're going to go into more of a shakedown in the Near East in the coming year, we're going to go into massive changes in climate change with more storms. We've been through this in New York recently, but we're going to see more and more of this building up, and as it requires us to engage more effectively, we need to talk about these learning tools that we have. We have a new film also out entitled The Voice of the Amazon and Beyond, where the Amazonian leaders have come to us while we were participating at the Rio Plus 20 UN summit last June and pleaded with us to bring their message to the world. Their message was their habitats were being destroyed. They need help. They need support. So all of you who hear this, engage in supporting UN programs. Support academy programs in reaching out to peoples who have been marginalized, who have not been given the proper background and understanding. And also become more active in terms of your journalism, in terms of your creativity, to realize that we are a voice in the wilderness that must have a stronger impression than the electronic seance and the culture of violence that is destroying so many young people throughout the world and disempowering them with no sense of where we go from here. So the keys of Enoch are the upper end of a vast teaching program of the Academy, and I would urge people to start with the Over Self-Awakening book, which is a commentary on the keys, and more practical books that we have already out there.
Or to work in study groups, which we have throughout the world.
In each country, they should go to their local representative of the Academy for Future Science and sign on with a greater sense of commitment to build the teamwork in some area of the social sciences, the humanities, or the physical planetary sciences.
Well, we do feel that, again, that there is an upward spiral, many people really having experiences and seeking the keys to understand the basis for their experience, because it's really where we're at in terms of the whole cosmos that we live in. And it helps many, many people to understand the reality that they start experiencing when they start experiencing things beyond the three-dimensional limitations that they grew up with. Now, Alan, is it time now maybe to get a few callers?
Yes, I do want to take some calls from our worldwide audience. Doug, do you have a phone number that you can call, tell people to call there? What's the best number?
Here, I'll say it to your audience. Hello, audience. This is Doug at PBS Radio, and you can call in at 888-429-5471. If you can't get through on that number, dial 513-6472. I'll repeat the last number. It's area code 530-513-6472.
And let's take those calls. I think we have some.
Yeah, we hear them.
All right, well, Ellen, while we're waiting for this, again, this is very important that we're saying the physical laws of our three-dimensional science and physics as we know them are superseded by a consciousness physics that organizes and transmutes or transform from this dimension into higher dimensions of universal existence. We are in the process of waking up to the limits of our science, the limits of the old paradigms that have put us into a tailspin. And now it's important for us to engage with different millennial goals, higher goals affecting all of humanity, to do more with this critical mass that we have within ourselves as we bring body, mind, and spirit into a triplet of energy, realizing that we do make a difference if we can collectively work towards consciousness expansion with the idea that we are universal humans reclaiming our place in the cosmos, the greater evolutionary process.
Okay, we have some. Thank you, Dr. Hertog. We have some calls. We have John on line two. John, do you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John.
I don't know if you can hear me on.
I can hear you. Okay, thank you for that. Any comment on your experience with the keys?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the doctors very much for their 40 years worth of work. Congratulations on bringing this incredible message to the world. and it's had a tremendous effect on my life and being able to become in contact with these higher levels of consciousness that they speak of and attest to the blessings that come through this incredible teachings. So I just want to say thank you and congratulations again.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'd like to use his statement of 40 years as a point of departure. 40 years, as we know, in the traditions of the West, were the period of the Exodus out of Egypt in the wilderness period, where people suddenly discovered themselves to have a part of unusual leadership to go beyond the traditional power system that Egypt represented into a whole new landscape of the mind and spirit through these pillars of light, through these superluminal forces of intelligence that make up, as it were, the biblical story. In many practical ways, Desiree and I have had the opportunity to work in Egypt over the last 40 years to find some of the pre-Exodus documentation that we believe will help us revolutionize an understanding for the three major religions of Abraham, how we can bring knowledge together on a much higher level of realizing why Egypt was, as it were, the womb of the experiment that changed the world, the womb of the Exodus period, which for us in some ways is a metaphor for our planetary Exodus. If this does occur in this coming generation or two, that we will be in contact with other galactic civilizations. We will be making a transit from a zero-point evolution to a higher evolutionary culture. We will call it a type one civilization that has learned how to use zero point and how to use genetic reprogramming to move beyond this localized area of space and time.
Okay. We have another call. Christine on line 3. Do you have a question for the doctors, JJ and Desiree Herzog? And if you could turn down your radio.
Hello?
Yes, you have a question.
Hello?
Yes. Question?
Yes. Thank you for giving the opportunity. Dr. Hertog, how did your experience expand your understanding of Jehovah, the God described in the Hebrew scriptures in the Bible?
Good question. Thank you for that.
As we all recognize that Jehovah, which is the Greek formula of the divine name, the Hashem, revered by the great sages, the great prophets, the great mystics, is a stumbling block for many people who see Jehovah as a mechanistic god of war, a repression, authority. What I experienced is the realization that there is a Bible code that speaks to us on many levels, and we have to go beyond the lower misconstructions of God that we make within our own mind out of fear, out of doubt, out of distance, and realize that fear is a term that has to be transposed into an awe, a glorious experience of the divine mind, awakening us to go beyond duality. In essence, my experience was to see how the Holy Scriptures present a process of divine assimilation, whereby we go beyond a God of judgment and war to a God of divine love, a God of divine revelation and experience that allows his offspring to co-participate and co-share in the realm of glorious ongoing evolutionary creation.
But the book Keys of Enoch is still very biblical in a sense in its style. Is it just because that is your background?
Yes, the Bible code or the scriptures, which are the touchstone of Western philosophy and theology in many ways for the last 2,000 years, is now being, as it were, open to its deeper resources. And the Keys of Enoch address primarily those who come out of the Western experience of the English language with the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek thought forms, who are going to be, so we say, evolutionary catalyst in changing the rest of the world of science as they've been doing essentially for the last several generations in a more dynamic way.
Right, but I think we have to add again that we feel, even though people call it the Hebrew tradition, in actuality, you know, there are beings that exist like an archangel Michael, that energy that protects the planet. There's the angelic force of Uriel that brings light to the planet. There's different levels of powers of intelligence like the Elohim, which are part of the creative energy throughout the universe. Dr. Herjack obviously had the experience with Enoch and Metatron, which is part of that entire lineage that we've been talking about. So even though we call it a traditional Bible, in a certain sense, we're trying to bring it into a practical reality. And I think that that's what's really interesting of what he's done. He's taken some of these biblical realities and said, you know, they're not fake, they're not false.
But this is the science. Real. Yeah. This is the science of the scripture that's there on a different layer. The scriptures are written on many levels, one of which is the linguistic mythology or mythos. But as one goes beyond this, one finds a profound science of consciousness that is there, which is the divine calling us into this love relationship of how we are continuing the Adam and Eve story on many levels. And so when Desiree speaks of angels, she's not speaking of this in terms of mythology. She's speaking of this in terms of the cosmic beingness,
right,
of recognizing that we go beyond the symbols into the reality of the experience.
And there's energies like the Merkaba, and that's very profound. Because,
which means divine vehicle.
Right, that there was, you know, actual vehicles that can take us from one reality to another. This is in the Bible, and this is different from extraterrestrial spacecraft, which maybe go from one planet to another, maybe through some wormholes. But we talked earlier about the cosmology that the Merkaba can actually take you from a higher reality of other dimensional beingness to this physical reality, like from the Father universe to the Son universe. These are vehicles that are far beyond anything that is metallic.
And again, this goes back to the story of the Exodus. We're talking about real events that take place on a much higher level of experience that deal with ultra-terrestrial forces of light, not extraterrestrial vehicles, or that Indiana Jones concept of Hollywood history that really works against the profoundness and the sacredness of the scriptures of the Holy Torah, word by word. There is a higher science in every word and every nuance that is so profound, it really defies human knowledge without some type of deep surrender, deep grasp of the water arena that this language code is connected with.
So let's take some more calls at 888-429-5471. But the question to you, I'm sorry again about the sound that's coming through this, but you talk about the Aleph. You, Dr. Hertog, you said you saw the Aleph on the throat of a divine being. Can you tell us that story and what it means?
Well, actually, in the couple years ago, I think 2010, we were able to go and see the Shroud of Turin in Torino, Italy. And this is the cloth that supposedly had covered Jesus after the time of his death. What's really interesting is that some people have...
Italian scientists, not some people,
okay,
using image enhancement analysis, found that there was imprinted within the shroud a geometric form that was an ancient variation of the Hebrew Aleph. This is very important. It was also confirmed by Greek researchers and others on the throat of the Jesus figure that's in the shroud. Many of you are familiar with this.
But what does it mean?
I'm getting to this. In Key 211 of the Book of Knowledge, there is a manifestation, an artistic drawing of the Christ figure with the Aleph over the throat, exactly where the shroud shows it to be. Now, we're talking about something that was published in 1973. No one knew anything about the Aleph on the figure of the throat of Jesus of Nazareth here. A couple years ago, 2010, I believe, in Stern magazine and some other publications, scholars admit now that they have been able to look at what may have been a death certificate that was laid on top of the shroud by Roman authorities, and through the sublimation process, the Christ figure absorbed through the light the iron-like materials of the writing of the death certificate into the shroud where that Aleph appears. So this is extremely important as a confirmation of what the keys of Enoch predict would be found on the Christ-like figure of history. And put it in a few words, the shroud of Turin validates the keys of Enoch. The keys of Enoch validate the shroud. There's no way I could have known this in 1973 that Italian and Greek and other European scholars would find the details that would be so profound in terms of this ancient artifact.
But what's interesting about the whole scenario is that even the scroll of Revelation says that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. But, you know, everyone talks about the fact that we may be at the Omega point, which would be like the end of the world. We just went through that December 21st, 2012. The idea is that we won't stop at the Omega. We'll go into the Alpha. So it'll be like Alpha, Omega, Alpha. And that Alpha shows that if we have a higher consciousness connected with the Christ, we will actually move into a greater new reality. We'll be able to experience different dimensions and just realms of intelligence that we have never experienced before. This is the new Alpha that we are all, as a collective humanity, ultimately moving into.
Is that why Aleph is on a throat as a kind of a doorway from the upper and lower?
Well, it speaks Aleph as the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the alphabet that changed the world. It's the beginning of a whole new language system that's going to emanate from our throat as we learn a whole new language. I call the language of light, of being able not only to think abstractly, but also to work with musical signals, sacred geometry, and a higher level of paraphysical discourse with our cosmic counterparts. This is going to make us part of the new Adam and Eve story, a whole new chapter of the Christ to nature that we spoke of earlier. The ability not only to see these realities at a distance, but now to put them on in terms of the new garment of rebirth and regenesis that we're going into.
Okay, I think we're going to get some more phone calls. Hey, Doug, can you just tell them the numbers?
Well, hello, everybody. Doug, once again, going to tell you the numbers to call in to the BBS radio studio and take part of this fantastic conversation. And believe me, I'm enthralled. The numbers are, and this is for North America, anywhere in North America, 888-429-5471. If you can't get through on that number, dial this number, 530-513-6472.
Okay. Doug, and while we're waiting for some calls, I just want to ask you, the last 10 keys you present in the Book of Enoch, they're the first 54 keys, and there will be a time, says, where the last 10 will be revealed. When will be that time, and what are we waiting for?
Well, I'm using this opportunity of 40 years now to tell my students throughout the world that wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and open your eyes to transformational realities that are going to be occurring this year and the coming year, that the other keys will be released one by one in different parts of the world upon mountaintops, if necessary, from the Andes, where we lecture to the mountains of the Near East, to the mountains of South Africa, at Drakensberg, one by one, the rest of the blueprint will be released now that the activists have seen, as it were, the coming of the greater B'nai Or, the B'nai Elohim, the sons of the divine, the sons of light on the horizon. We are at a very strategic point, as you know, Alan, as you play a very important role as a world journalist, to realize the sacrifice we've all had to make in terms of bringing the contact story into the public arena, into the public commons, of reaching to the most respected scientists, the cosmonauts, the astronauts that we have talked to get them to realize the greater story that we're all part of. This is not information that can be downloaded by a nice little talk we're having now. No, this is information that requires us to engage completely a whole new change in our life. Body, mind, and soul must go into a transformative experience. How is this done? By unconditional love and surrender to helping humanity throughout the world to go beyond this culture of violence into a culture of peace, to go into a higher language, which is preparing us for face-to-face encounters, to recognize that consciousness is the hidden variable that determines the cause of individual quantum transitions, to realize we need a new future science, a science guided by consciousness, to realize we need a theology of the tree of life that allows all people who love the divine, eternal one, whether we call him Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh or Hey-Heh-Yod-Vod or Yod-Heh-Vod, in all of the glorious permutations is a loving mind of the universe that is consistent with the laws of the true science that we're discovering at our fingertips. So let us use this as a moment to fasten our seatbelts and realize that in spite of the static and some of the problems of this international broadcast, we are being, so we say, positioned to be players with the rest of the keys as universal humans.
What does this have to do with the descent of the dove, as it says in the book?
Well, the descent of the dove is one of the central figures over the North American continent from Canada, United States, and Mexico. And those of you who turn to Keat 105 will recognize that in the dove symbol that comes down over one side of the dove, there's a circle on the East Coast that matches the Miami Circle of ancient archaeological artifacts that has been recently found in Florida. You and I were there a few weeks ago.
Yes.
The dove symbol also places the head of the dove, or La Paloma as it is known in the Spanish language, over a portion of the Yucatan where more and more discoveries have been made of sacred texts and areas there that will be mind-changing in terms of rewriting the history of the Americas. The dove is also connected with other key maps that show and speak of things off of Yucatan, such as what we believe to be a sunken civilization that was there at one time along the coast of Yucatan in Cuba that is now in the ocean at a great depth. We're beginning to, shall we say, see, to use a figure of speech from Scripture, the movements of foundations of the deep. We're beginning to realize that the earth is giving up its secrets, and we're at the stage of a great harvest of knowledge, which requires us to, shall we say, be more open-minded, being more pluralistic, but also being more focused in going beyond the lower gods, the experimental forces, to the true God of gods, the God of the prophets and apostles, who calls us to an understanding of history of life. That's Chaim, as it is known in the ancient language.
So are you continually getting revelation the way you did? I guess the over-self was a revelation in a sense, wasn't it?
I think Dr. Tech calls it an inductive linkage, that basically after seeing and experiencing the levels that he did, that there's always this interconnectedness that he has with these higher levels that do encourage him to, you know, to say certain things, to understand certain things, to see certain things.
I will be releasing a manuscript that I haven't released to this point that I've held back on many of the books of sacred scripture, many of the archaeological expeditions that we were part of that took us under the earth in the Middle East, took us into the oceans of China and Japan, took us to the various remote areas of Brazil and Colombia. I'll have the opportunity also to bring forth some of the film documentation I've had with previous colleagues who are no longer with us. Certainly the voice commentaries of Dr. Marcel Vogel at IBM, Dr. Andre Puharich, who worked in the field of paraphysics with the American government and authorities, Burkhard Heim, the great German mathematician and physicist, Professor Koznashev from the Russian Academy of Science and Cosmology. All of these are important figures in the history of science who began to examine the work that I represent, who began to see that there is a quantum shift taking place. And the shift in consciousness, again, is something that's not going to be monopolized by any one group, but the keys of Enoch will provide, as it were, the general blueprint for people to use in their own way, in their own sense of propriety and experience. And through the outreach of the Academy for Future Science, I want to emphasize this very clearly, we're going to have programs on the internet and more tangible teaching tools that people can use as they prepare for the next series of teachings that will bring us into a more active state of what we're going to prepare ourselves for as the first wave of the cosmic others show themselves.
Okay, can you thank you for that. How do you feel after 40 years, Dr. Hertog? This has been your life work, your purpose. How have you changed and been transformed?
I feel deeply touched that I've had the opportunity to work throughout the world to touch the hearts and minds of so many young people throughout the world, as well as to work with scholars and sages that understand that we're going into a very critical period in history. I think this is something that we must be mindful of, that in this era of rapid changes, the paradigms of life are going to change. Stress-related events caused by changes brought on by the information revolution are going to put great stress on our minds, and so we're going to have to learn to harmonize with greater insights. And again, this is the importance of the keys and the new book of the Overself Awakening. We have to awaken to a higher self, a self that can work with new vistas in directions, a self that can work with unbelievable world financial changes that will make it very difficult now for independent research to go on. But again, people will have to reach down to their heart and into their innermost self for a greater sense of vitality in prayer to face the daily challenges with the conviction that we are part of a divine plan of creation that's coming true. We live in a time that the confirmation of so many unrelated codes are showing us that a true book of life is being opened before our very eyes, and we feel privileged to be part of this greater work of what the sages recognize as the externalization of the hierarchy, or the coming, the second coming of science, which precedes the second coming of the Christ figure, or the great teacher that will unite us.
Right. So, Alan, I just want to say also that, you know, we've only touched on a very few of the confirmations in the Keys of Enoch. We're going to be adding them throughout this year onto our website, keysofenoch.org. And there's confirmations of, you know, the Keys of Enoch were the first to talk about the fact that there's an alignment of the Great Pyramid with Orion on one side and Alfred de Conis on the other. So before Robert Bovell came up with that, the Keys of Enoch had that. There are many other aspects about...
Or before even physicists dealing with zero-point energy, the Keys were the really first to bring this out with detail of what is going to take place in terms of new energy systems.
And recently, the whole idea that, you know, people are concerned about the sun and the solar flares, that's something that the Keys of Enoch talked about. In fact, the Keys said the sun is a variable star, and most people didn't understand that. But now, I think it was 2010, February, that NASA came out with a statement that the sun is a variable star, because it used to change its solar maximum cycle every 11 years. But this last cycle that we're in right now actually has extended from 11 years to almost 13 years. In fact, the major solar flares won't be taking place, they don't think, until March of or May of 2013. So, you know, this shows a variable sun, literally. And it can affect the planet. We actually think that some of the things that are taking place on the planet, though, are all part of a growing factor of awakening us to this higher understanding. The whole thing of even the magnetic fields getting weaker actually is allowing us to tap into those greater realms of intelligence. So things that look kind of strange and maybe even negative on one hand sometimes can be used as a positive thing for awakening humanity.
So, Ellen, if I could carry on what Desiree just said, we need a vademecum, a blueprint of what we are to do as multidimensional beings waking up to our cosmic potential. One, we need to think positive no matter what we experience in seeking an upward path. We must be part of that 2% of humanity that will always work positively. We do not need to carry fear within ourselves that injures our health, but we need to have a hopeful, positive outlook at life and building a positive future. We need to engage in heart-to-heart connection with our guardian angels, or some would say the ultra-terrestrial brothers and sisters of light. We must realize that there are no problems, only solutions. This is one of the mottos of the Academy. We need to find unique musical frequencies that can bring us a great upliftment day by day. And certainly we need to join a spiritual fellowship to bring out our constructive relationships, to change Mother Earth as we're going from a cycle of culture of violence to one of upliftment and transformation. We need to understand the triple power of good health, happiness, and holism, not only in the historic sense of the great scriptures and sutras, but the way we apply it in writing the scriptures and living the sutras and living the poetry of life in a new and dynamic way. And we need to use good musical music to fuel our upliftment with our friends, loved ones, and particularly the youth who must be prevented from being a push-button culture of simply robotic automatons. They must be able to find their way back into a useful sense of social holism using higher vibrations of the mind and the paraphysical gifts rather than simple electronics. Well, we must visualize the stars as a part of a continuum blueprint not being revealed to us, that we have a home in the stars, but not a distant, but actual a physical home that we are part of as we are preparing to launch into a human-based, ultra-terrestrial, extraterrestrial civilization.
Well, I think the children being born now seem to be more evolved. I think it is more a time of upliftment and light for the planet. I think the fulfillment of the keys is the very consciousness that many of us are living in right now, the awareness of these multidimensional aspects of ourselves. That is a major fulfillment of the keys, I would say. So we should sort of wrap it up. I think as we are approaching the hour, we have one call though coming. Judith on line 3. Yes, put her through, Doug.
Hello.
Yes, you have a question.
Okay. Yes, I didn't hear the very beginning of the show, and maybe the doctor spoke about this, but they were talking about, I've noticed in the keys, the externalization of the hierarchy. Does that mean a physical presence, or is it more metaphorical, allegorical, or, you know, should we be expecting literal presences on the planet?
A very good question. As one's consciousness is raised, one's perceptual vision is activated to see, shall we say, more of the physical reality that is normally excluded by the way our brain filters information, just like the ancient peoples in South America did not accept the Spanish ships on the horizon. They were not trained to see them as if ships. They simply saw something they couldn't comprehend, but the Europeans were there. We're going to see, to answer your question, both then, a metamorphical change of light energy paraphysically being seen as sacred spheres or geometries changing more and more into recognizable forms. At some point, those who are acutely sensitive and paraphysically alert are going to see their cosmic counterparts just as we see each other in human day-to-day relationships with plain spoken language.
So in a sense, I think it's a matter of as we shift our consciousness, we begin to see more and more. And as we shift our consciousness, we also herald and call forth those energies to come forth to this planet collectively so that they ultimately will come first in energy forms and later in physical forms. So it's, as Dr. Tzek said, both and, that first takes a slow step. Now, what's happening with extraterrestrials, many people also ask that question, when are they coming? And actually, if you talk to people like Jaime Maussan from Mexico City, he's a journalist well-known in the Latin world, as well as people who are living in South America, they've seen like flotillas, the spaceships, all over places like Lima and Guadalajara, Mexico, and also Mexico City. So it seems that these beings are already appearing, and they're already here. They're not landing on the White House lawn, as people often want to hear about, but that they are making themselves known to humanity. So slowly and slowly, we're being orientated. That's exactly what the Keys of Enoch are also all about, is, as we were saying earlier, that we're all being orientated to this new way of thinking, this new way of being, this understanding of our past, present, and future that's more interconnected with a vast and awesome universe. And when that really takes place collectively, then all these things will start taking place stronger on the planet.
Does that clear up?
Yes, it is. I guess to follow on that then, when their presence does become more apparent, does that indicate a shift in elevation of our consciousness and just coexistence, or will they literally be here to assist us to get to those higher levels?
Yes, to answer your question directly, yes, they're here to assist us because the problems we face as a world society are too vast for any government or even consortium of governments or multinationals to bail us out of these issues of the larger story of climate change, what this means to millions of people, the change in the food chain that's being disrupted, all of these critical factors that very few scientists are willing to talk about. But again, go to our websites and become acquainted with some of the position papers of the United Nations. And be aware that we have a plethora of information that will take you to the next cue and seeing a positive side of an upward spiral taking place simultaneously with the downward spiral.
And I also say that many of the young people that we've been encountering now actually have already had contact on those levels. And I think that that contact is available already now for some. I know, Alan, you're working with several people also that have that kind of understanding and awareness coming from higher levels of intelligence that they're being guided and directed. And we're not talking about channeling. We're talking about really an understanding of the divine within us, awakening us, and really allowing us to work with beings that are existing on other realities at the same time that we're living here. And I think that's a great way of perhaps understanding the greater consciousness of the Keys of Enoch.
And I think that's going to happen more and more as people are educated to those possibilities. It'll just be an assumed reality as opposed to something we have to overcome in order to acknowledge. So to wrap up tonight's show, and sorry again about the technical difficulties, Desiree, you were saying if someone just wanted the cosmology of the keys, I mean, I know we covered a lot about the keys, but just someone who's not familiar with the book, if they were going to pick it up now that they've gotten excited about it, how would they read it? What's the best way of jumping into the keys?
Well, I know many people just open the book at any time, like at late night, and it gives them kind of insights into exactly what they're thinking about. What's also interesting is, because the keys are on seven different levels, that someone, you could read one verse today, and you could read the same verse 6 months from now, and you see a different level of meaning. So really, it's a really living book, and I think that's what's really important. If you want more of a personal, then we ask people now to go to our more recent book over self-awakening, but the multidimensional reality, the power, the energy is there in the Keys of Enoch. It works on levels of science, interpersonal growth, cosmology, higher consciousness, all those levels, even down to the DNA and the subatomic particles,
yes,
are all there. Don't forget our website, of course, for those who want to know more, is keysofenoch.org. It's also available in multiple languages.
Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, even in Russian, coming up very soon. So I'd like to close with a couple ideas here. As humans waking up to the divine spark within us, let us visualize the power of God as a dove of light shining over us, through us, connecting us with all people. Let us realize that we are part of what I will call a cosmic Pentecost, of a higher language of awakening that will unite the people of the world, just as the diverse peoples in the ancient Near East came together in the book of Acts chapter 2. And we can always rejoice in this living God, this divine mind of the universe, and understand this divine mind as consistent with the higher laws of spiritual science and physical science that are now taking us out of this stage of 40 years in the wilderness. We're realizing that we are being prepared to receive the brilliance of the cosmic gospel, the Torah, the Atzilut, the eternal word of God that is uniting all people who truly seek a higher path, who choose to be chosen in understanding the tree of life with all of its branches, all of its blessings, bring all people into the picture of a unified humanity, accepting a birthright in the book of life. May we be blessed as we surge ahead in these critical years with a sense of love, respect, and compassion for all life.
Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you, for your time. One last question that just comes to me, Dr. Hertog, is the book, in a way, an ongoing living book for you as well? Are you discovering more expansion of consciousness as you've been teaching this for 40 years in the book itself?
Yes, most certainly. I found that the concept of a multidimensional universe, all of the, shall we say, more critical areas of the codes, the genetic code, for example, or the code on the dating systems of earlier civilization, all of this speaks to the mathematical importance of the Book of Knowledge as a divine blueprint that can be appreciated as a type of capstone teaching that brings together the various traditions of prophecy and science into a whole new synthesis of how we are being given the endowments of a book of preparation of our cosmic citizenship, our cosmic participation with the divine family, and the mystery which Jesus the Christ spoke of when he said, "My Father's house is a house of many mansions." We're very close to understanding what that really means in terms of preparing peoples of Mother Earth to expand their philosophy, their psychology, their sociology, to accept the next generation that will be participants in this house of many mansions. May we be blessed in humility and a sense of reservation that we can be also critically wise and reflective in how we prepare ourselves for the wedding garment of what John the Divine speaks of with the coming of the greater cosmic Christ. Thank you. And God bless all of you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. I've been talking to Dr. Desiree Hertog and Dr. J.J. Hertog, who 40 years ago today on January 2nd and 3rd had this experience that catapulted him and the world into a multidimensional revelation called the Book of Enoch, the Keys of Enoch, Book of Knowledge, and we've been talking about that book and its teachings. So the website again, Desiree?
www.keysofenoch.org. We also have www.futurescience.org for new scientific ideas that are coming to the fore. And also, finally, also healtheplanet.org for people who want to share their prayers for the planet and for individuals.
Thanks again. Thank you both for the work that you do and the dedication to consciousness that you are continuously putting out there. So you're welcome back anytime.
I want to say also, if I may, as a footnote, that those who join in the work of the Academy will have the opportunity to see some of the new keys and the new dynamics of the manuscripts that I've kept back for some time only because of waiting for the right moments where the world scientific and educational communities can both share from one side of the planet to the other. So join in with the work of the Academies for Future Science in Europe, in Australia, in South America, North America, in other parts of the world. Join through the internet site that we have and be prepared for a very active tutorial process that we're going to be bringing out now with greater depth on the teaching of the new consciousness cosmology.
Yes, and you can also see interviews I've done with Dr. Hertog on YouTube, Dr. Desiree and J.J. Hertog on YouTube, and there's also a couple of DVDs that have been released that you can order at the Keys of Enoch website as well.
Ellen, why don't you mention the names of these? Because these are very important dialogues we've had with leading thinkers in the field of new science and psychology.
The most recent one is Pathways to Conscious Living with Joe Dispenza and Marilyn Schlitz. And the doctors I'm talking to, J.J. Hertog and Desiree Hertog, and myself as narrator. And then we've done a dialogue called Codes of Life, which was 2 half-hour programs about life in the cosmos and the potential of consciousness to exist throughout all.
And they can get those through New Realities.
Yes, and they can order from my website as well, newrealities.com. And we'll be producing more in that series, especially as these new keys are revealed. I'd like to do a program on each key. So thank you again. Thank you both for being there. And if you want to hear this program again, you can go to the BBS archives, you can go to the newrealities.com website under podcasts, and you can look up futurescience.org and keysofenoch.org, right, for the website?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks
so much, Alan.
Thank you, all of you. Be blessed.
Yeah. And we'll be in touch. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you have any questions, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening.